a Kia SUV is capable of taking you far. But when you use it locally to help your community, you go even further. Whether that's carrying cargo, bringing your team with you,
ready,
or navigating new terrain, power up your capability with the right Kia SUV. Do more with the Kia Sportage, Kia Telluride, Kia Sorento, or Kia Seltos. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey there, I'm Mitchell Shiver, lead pastor at Legacy Church, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. No matter where you are, we want to help you connect to Christ, one another, and God's mission. If you're in the Canton, Marietta, or surrounding areas close to one of our physical locations, I want to invite you to join us in person this Sunday. Most importantly, I want you to know that we're here for you. If there's anything we can do or you want to know how to take a next step in your faith journey, please let us know by going to lcga.info.
As Elijah mentioned, we are in a series called Fresh Start, and we kicked it off last week really with kind of an overarching vision of a fresh start with God. And here's kind of the bottom line of that, and it's just that to start fresh with God, we've got to put God first in every area of our life. And today we're talking about, you know, the process of change. And maybe you come away from last week, or you're here today, maybe for the first time, and you are needing a fresh start with God or wanting a fresh start with God. That's what we're talking about today. I saw something where apparently Friday, a couple days ago, was National Quitters Day. Isn't that great? So happy National Quitters Day this past Friday. But a study of 45 million people found that actually the vast majority of them quit their resolutions by the second Friday. And so I think that's the genesis of National Quitters Day. So I don't know how you celebrate National Quitters Day, but it's, you know, sort of sad, you know, this sort of sad commentary that, you know, we start out the year with such, you know, resolve, and we're like, man, I'm going to get healthy this year, or man, I'm going to get into the Word more. I'm going to, you know, we're going to be more involved in the life of the church, or you know, I'm going to get to know my neighbors or serve my community, whatever it is. And then by the second Friday, it's like, oh yeah, about that. And if we're honest, we might feel a little discouraged. And listen, I'm not here to discourage anyone from setting resolutions. I think resolutions are great. And I would encourage you to set resolutions and goals and aspirations, and all those things are great. But I would say the greatest resolution that we can have is to be resolved to live more fully for God. To start fresh with God. Whether you've been a Christ follower your whole life or you're a brand new Christ follower, to start fresh with God in 2024. What is God's vision for my life? Maybe you have never asked that question. Or maybe you have asked that question and you've wrestled with it. And you say, I don't know what God's vision for my life is. I've asked Him and it just seems like I'm not really getting some clarity in that. What, God, what do you want me to do with my life? I would say that Jesus answers that in John 10 when He says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So God's vision for your life is that you would have a full life in Jesus. And let me just say to you, Life is not full apart from Him. We cannot have a full life apart from Jesus. We can try. You know, there's things that we can throw ourselves into. And maybe you've thrown yourself into some of those things as we started the new year, you know, in your quest to change. But I would say all of those things really pale in comparison to having a full life in Jesus. A full life in Jesus is a life in which Jesus is the center of everything. I mean, He's the most important thing in our life. And we cannot get enough of Him. It's like this unquenchable desire to experience more of Jesus. That is a full life. And so we're talking about a fresh start with God. And maybe that's here. I hope that all of us have this resolution this year to reach and pursue God's vision for our life, which, as I just said, is a full life in Christ, in Jesus. And we have this resolve to have a fresh start, and we get discouraged, and sometimes we find ourselves, maybe the year, a couple months in, we're in the same spot we were, we're stuck. You know, we're kind of running in place, it feels like, with where we want our life to head. And I think what we experience often is what the Apostle Paul talks about, the struggle of the flesh and the spirits. In Romans chapter 7, he writes about this. He says, "I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." And if you're married in the room, whenever Megan asks me to do something and I forget, I just quote this verse. I say, "Honey, let me just read from the Word of God. I know that you asked me to take care of that, but I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." Let us pray. She was in Canton this morning, and I don't know, I think she gave me a courtesy laugh, you know? It's like, I have to appear as though I'm laughing because I'm married to you, but, you know. Anyway, maybe you want a fresh start. But I think we need to define that, because, you know, it's great to talk about it, and, you know, it's like, oh, a fresh start, it sounds good. I mean, who's going to disagree with a fresh start, right? Who's going to say, well, I don't want a fresh start, I just want to be the same? And maybe some of you do. I mean, honestly, maybe it's like, I want to be the same person I was last year. But I think most of us, we want to move forward in our life. I think there's three ways that this sort of looks. And the first one is a fresh start in terms of when we first come to faith. We have this brand new relationship with Jesus, and we're on fire for God. And we're just, I mean, maybe if you've been a Christ follower, you think back to that time in which you first came to faith, you were on fire for God. You were going on all kinds, sorts of service trips, and you were giving of your time and talents and treasures, and you were just on fire for Him. You had a fresh start. And maybe others of us, we need a fresh start, and it looks like a renewed hope. Or maybe you look around and you see everything that's happening in our world, you think, well, man, this is discouraging. I need a renewed sense of hope. Because when I open my newsfeed and scroll social media, man, it is immediately depressing because of what I see. Or maybe you need a fresh start because you've struggled with regrets. And you're stuck in that cycle of regret that just sort of keeps us spinning. And you've had past failures and you're not sure if you can move forward. You're just stuck and you need a fresh start. So no matter where you are at, with whether it's, you know, yet to come to faith, yet to be a Christ follower, or you just need a renewed sense of hope, I think all of us need a fresh start. And I want to tell you that a fresh start with God is possible. It's possible. And so the question is, well, how do we start fresh with God? And really what we're talking about is a process of change. Not change, you know, how do you change? How do we change? I think there's sort of three approaches to this. We can take an approach in which we think, well, it's all up to me. And it's all up to me. If not, you know, if I want to experience change in my life, man, I've got to do it myself, right? And I've got to take the reins, and I've got to make the decisions, and you know, I've got to handle it. And if I really want to experience change, it is up to me. You know what the problem with this approach? The focus is me. The focus is me. When we take an approach to change in which we believe it's all up to me, the focus is me, and I'm only concerned with what's right in front of me and my agenda and my plans and my dreams, and I don't see anything outside of that, this is where we fall into moralism or just playing the religion game. It's up to me. I've got to prove myself to God. I've got to show up, check off the box, be seen in church so that God can just give me a pass for another week. That's when it's up to me. Maybe some of us in the room have played that game. Let me tell you, it's an exhausting game. Because I've played that game. Where I thought it was up to me. You know, I knew all the right things to say. I knew all the right people to quote, to impress others. All the while, my soul was dying. Because I thought it was up to me. Well, maybe it's not an up to me approach. Maybe you say, well, no, it's all up to God. I mean, we're spiritual people, right? If we want to change, it is all up to God. And this sounds good. I mean, who's going to disagree with that? I mean, God can do whatever he wants. He's all-knowing, all-powerful. And so for us to change, we've got to give our life completely up to God, and it's all up to him. And you know what happens? We just sort of sit by and wait. And yes, waiting on God is a reality in life. But sometimes when it comes to change, we think, well, I need a sign from God. I need a vision from God. If I'm going to do this, I need God to confirm it. Listen, those are good things. But sometimes we are waiting for maybe a pie in the sky message from God. God, could you just formulate the clouds into a message for me and I will act on it. And all the while, I believe, now I'm not saying that God doesn't speak to us in supernatural ways. Please don't hear that. But I believe most of the time, God is asking us to take a step of faith and we're waiting on some grand, you know, message. And he's like shouting at us like, hey, I'm trying to speak to you. You're not listening. That's what I said to my six-year-old last week. I believe God speaks to us like that. He's trying to speak to us through circumstances, through other people, through his word primarily. And he's almost shouting at us to take a step, and we're just sitting there twiddling our thumbs. Let me ask you, if you're sitting at home watching TV and you suddenly get hungry, what do you do? You get up, you go to the kitchen, you get something to eat, right? You don't just sit there and supernaturally become full without doing anything. If you're sitting on the couch and you're hungry, you got to get up from the couch, you got to go to the kitchen, you got to get something to eat. I think the same is true when it comes to change in our walk with God. Sometimes I think God is just shouting at us, just do something. Just do something, like literally anything, and I will bless it. Just take a step. Just serve that person. Just make that phone call to that lonely widow. Just help that person who is struggling physically. Just do something in my name and I will bless it. I think God gives us those moments all week long to do something in the name of Christ where no one knows about it. It's not celebrated. There's no fanfare. It is a simple act of obedience and love to Jesus. Well, if it's not all up to me and it's not all up to God, in which God is inviting me to engage and participate, then what is it? I think it's all up to God through me. God working in and through us. This is the process of change. This is the process in which God's vision for our life is realized and fulfilled. Through our obedience to the Holy Spirit, God working through me. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. We have this big church word. It's five syllables called sanctification. That's a lot. Sanctification. Okay. Yeah, five syllables. I went to seminary. You learn multiple syllable words. It's very expensive for that, but five syllable words, that costs thousands of dollars to learn. Sanctification. It just means that God is leading me through a process through his Spirit to become more like Jesus. That's sanctification. The process of becoming more like Jesus. So let me ask you, are you more like Jesus today than you were a year ago? Is your family more like Jesus today than it was a year ago? Think about that. That can be a humbling question to think about, can't it? I mean, if we're real honest, and I think this is an honest room, sometimes we're stuck in the same place that we were this time last year. We're stuck. So we know we're stuck. I mean, maybe we don't think we're stuck, but I think most of the time when we're stuck in our walk with Jesus, like, we know it. We're afraid to admit it. Like, we don't want people to know we're stuck. We keep showing up. We keep doing the things that we do to appear as though we're walking with Jesus. But we're just stuck. And listen, that's a reality. There are seasons in life where we get stuck. But what do you do in those moments? And maybe that's you. Maybe you're in a time right now where you're stuck with your relationship with Jesus. You honestly, if you were to answer that question, you'd say, man, I guess I am in the same place. I don't really feel like I've grown in my relationship with Jesus over the last year or 2 years or however many years. And I'm just kind of stuck. What do I do? You ask God to change you. You humbly ask him to change you. Through his Spirit. Humility. Jesus has this encounter with some religious leaders in Mark chapter 7. And he has this back and forth where he tells them basically that they are rejecting the commands of God. He's like, you're rejecting the commands of God in favor of your traditions. Well, the problem was that the religious leaders were upset because Jesus and his disciples were beginning to eat a meal and they hadn't washed their hands, and purity laws were really important to the Pharisees. So important that they made hundreds, literally hundreds of laws. Because I guess they sat around one day and said, well, the word of God is not enough. We need to add to that. I don't know, whoever came up with that idea. Bad moment for them. But we need to add to that. So they added hundreds of laws. Things that people were permitted to do, all with the end goal of purity. And Jesus comes along and he has this encounter with them and he tells them, you guys are rejecting the commands of God in favor of your tradition. Then in verse 18, he says, are you so dull? Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of the body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean, which was a major major thing. Shocking. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Yeah, that's quite a list. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. Listen, no one wakes up one day and decides to make their life about any of these things that Jesus says. No one wakes up one day and says, you know what, I'm going to destroy my marriage. I'm going to fall into sexual immorality. We know porn is a major, major business. Some of us in the room are caught up in it silently. It's the silent sin, because we can appear physically fit and yet be rotting on the inside because porn has a stranglehold on us. Lewdness, envy. You can walk around being envious and nobody will know. These are often sins that we can keep silent, but they're destroying the inside. They're destroying our heart. Jesus says all these come from inside and defile a person. See, when we talk about change, we often default to external methods of change. We want to change something on the outside, a behavior. Yeah, change a behavior. You know, I was reading this week, somebody smart has determined that almost 50% of our actions that we take are habits. That's interesting. Almost half of the actions that we take are habits. I thought, man, can we make spiritual vitality a habit? Can we make spiritual growth a habit? Can we make pursuing the presence of God a habit? Yeah. Yeah, we can. What greater habit to develop than pursuing the presence of God? But Jesus says all these things come from within. And so here's what he says. Change happens from the inside out. Change happens from the inside out. We often get it backwards. We often start from the outside in. I've got to do something to produce the change. But in spiritual vitality, it's the exact opposite. Where it's often an internal matter. And what we believe about ourselves and about God dictates how we behave. And the behaviors that we exhibit externally are only reflections of what we believe internally. So if you want to change, you've got to change from the inside out. Author Jerry Bridges, one of my favorite writers, he says, this transformation is into the image of Jesus is much more than a change of outward conduct. Rather, it is a deep, penetrating work of the Holy Spirit in the very core of our being, what the Bible, the heart, the center of our intellect, affections, and will. It is what is sometimes called a change from the inside out. If you want to change, you've got to change from the inside out. You know what the agent of change is? It is grace. It is grace. Grace is the secret sauce of change. Paul writes about grace. We're just going to do an old school verse by verse here. Paul says in Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? See, the thought was, Paul's fear was that people would realize grace and think, well, I can do whatever I want now. I mean, grace is free. It's earned. It's unmerited. I mean, I've done nothing to earn it. So I can just go and live however I want to live and do whatever I want to do. I can be licentious with grace. By no means, he says. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? In Jesus' death, we have died to sin. What does that mean? I mean, all of us are living. None of us have died. What does it mean to die to sin? It means that sin no longer has It's power over us. It certainly has its effect on us. We feel the effects of sin, but it does not ultimately have victory over us. So we struggle with it, but ultimately it's not going to win. It's not going to win. Or don't you know, verse 3, that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? I'm still alive. What do you mean, baptized into his death?
A Kia SUV is capable of taking you far. But when you use it locally to help your community, you go even further. Whether that's carrying cargo, bringing your team with you,
ready,
or navigating new terrain, power up your capability with the right Kia SUV. Do more with the Kia Sportage, Kia Telluride, Kia Sorento, or Kia Seltos. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It means all the benefits of Jesus' death are now afforded to us through him. The benefits I just mentioned of having victory over sin. We were therefore, whenever you see the word therefore, it's like, okay, what has he said right before this? And what he said right before this? And what does he say right after the word therefore? Those are connected. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. All the benefits of his death are afforded to us. All the benefits of his resurrection are afforded to us. Mainly new life. See, God's original design for us, the reason we need a fresh start is because his original vision for our lives and all of creation, in fact, is complete harmony and eternal life with him. All the way back to the garden. God's design is forever to live with him in eternity, in harmony with others, with God, to flourish. Human flourishing has its roots in creation. And sin broke all that up. And ever since then, God has been on a reconciliation path to restore his design for our world and for us. But we will never change. Listen, we will never change unless we are first amazed by God's grace. We will never change unless God's grace amazes us. One of the things that Jerry Bridges writes, which has impacted my life, is he talks about growth. And he says, you know you're growing in Christ when you realize your sin and you become more aware of it. That doesn't make sense. What do you mean? You know you're growing when the more you realize your sin. Because the more that we realize our sin, the more we realize our need for grace. The more we become aware of our sin, the more we realize how much we need God's grace. What about you? What about you? Man, have you come in here today? I know you're on a fresh start. Maybe you've been here the first two Sundays of the year and you're like, I got perfect attendance this year. I don't want to mess this up. Taking my vitamins. Got a fresh start. The greatest growth that you can experience in Jesus is to become more aware of your brokenness. Now, that's not fun. I mean, nobody's like saying, woo! Let's all realize our brokenness. Broken people. I don't know, I just made that up. But my hope for you is that you would experience God's grace in more amazing ways. Maybe your fresh start is experiencing his grace again and again and again. Maybe your fresh start is experiencing his grace all over again, as you did in the beginning. Maybe your fresh start is experiencing his mercies, which are new every morning. This past week, one of our staff got to chat with some other church staff from other churches in our community, and they came back, they were sharing it with me, and there's a church, one of the churches is experiencing rapid growth. And about a year and a half ago, I think they were at 150 people, and now they're at about 600. Opened up a new space. Just incredible. And they're actually right down the street from our Canton campus, and you have to drive right by it. And one of our staff was asking a staff member from this church, you know, that is experiencing incredible growth, hey, what is it? Like, what are you guys doing? You know, and I want to know the answer to that. I'm like, what are they doing that we could do? Like, you know, get your notes ready. What are you doing? Tell us. Tell us the secret. Don't keep it yourselves. We want to know too. You know what they said? They said, I don't know. I've really never thought of it that way before. I just know there's a hunger for God. I was like, yeah. That'll slap you right in the face. In a good way. And it sort of punched me in the gut. Because, you know, oftentimes we think it's up to us, right? It's that first approach. Change up to us. Man, I got to come up with, like, some great ideas for my life. I got to come up with the ideas for how to grow this church. God, give me something that no one else has heard of. A new idea that has never been done before. And I think all the while God is saying, I just want you to have a hunger for me. And so that's what I want for you. That's what I want for me first. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for us. What if this year became the year in which you had a hunger for God like never before? And listen, maybe some of you are like, God's just not that involved in my life. That's okay. Maybe you've never thought that God was involved at all. You feel like he's distant, disconnected. That's okay. But God, know this, God is always in the business of giving us a fresh start. And if you're that person who you're here just because you have to be, you've never thought about God being the center of your life, you've never thought about a fresh start with him, maybe today is the day that he gives you a fresh start. You didn't think it would happen. You were just thinking about lunch. Like, where are we going to go? We don't have anything to eat. We got to go by the store. But maybe God's vision for your life this year is you develop a hunger. What if this year became the year in which you developed a hunger for God? Think about how that would change you. You want to be changed? Pursue his presence. Ask him to give you a hunger for him. Just a simple hunger. And then take a step. Don't sit by waiting for some pie in the sky message. Just take a step in the name of Jesus. And just keep taking little steps. And see what God does. That's my hope for you. That's my prayer for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in this silence, we want to hear from you. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this moment to speak to us. With a word or a person or a response, Holy Spirit, we're asking.
We ask for you to speak to us this morning.
We want a fresh start. Begins by pursuing your presence and hunger for you, God. So we ask for that. I ask for that right now for this community, this church. Give us a hunger for you. Give us a fresh hunger. We want to see you work in ways you've never worked before. We want to see miracles happen. We want to see breakthroughs happen. We want to see strongholds broken. We want a fresh start. Give us that, Lord. Give us your presence. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to take communion together. If you're newer with us, it's something we do weekly here. To remember the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Really, to share a spiritual meal is what it is. Where we take of the juice and the bread. And so in just a moment, when you're ready, I want to invite you to come to the front. You'll notice a tray in front of your section. You can just make your way to that tray, grab the cup, take it back to your seat, peel off the top layer. It's a little piece of bread. That piece of bread represents his body broken for us. Peel off the next layer. With some juice, that juice represents his blood poured out for us. And as we take it together, let's collectively ask him to fill us with a hunger for his presence. And if you're in need of prayer, I'll be down here. I know others are available. Jeff, Elijah are here. I'd love to pray with you. Don't let today be just another day you go through the motions. Something that we can pray with you about. We'd love to do that. So let's take an opportunity to hear from God.
Still know his name. still know His name. So let go my soul and trust in Him. The waves and wind still know His name. The waves and wind still know His name. And it is well with my soul. Sing, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Fresh start with You. We pray that we are receptive to Your prodding, and God, that all we need to do is take one step closer to You, and You are there for us. You are always there for us, and no matter what situation we're in, we pray that we can say, it is well, because You are in our soul. We love You, and we praise You. In Your name, amen. Amen. Does He deserve the praise and the glory today? Amen, He sure does. We want to praise Him together again, so we're going to invite you to stand and declare that we believe that He is our salvation, that we believe that He is our God. So we're going to invite you to sing that with us today.
there is one salvation, one doorway that leads to life, one redemption, one confession. I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in the crucifixion. By His blood I have been set free. I believe in the resurrection. Hallelujah, His life is destiny. All praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name I believe. I believe, I believe. I believe in the hope of heaven. He's preparing a place for me, far beyond what hearts imagine, ears have heard, or eyes have seen. I believe that a day is coming. He's returning to claim His bride. Light the altar, keep it burning. See the lamb who rose a roaring light. All praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name I believe. Oh, I believe in You. No, I'll never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could I ever walk away from the one who saved my life? No, I'll never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could I ever walk away from the one who saved my life? How could I of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could I ever walk away from the one who saved my life? Yeah. All praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name I believe. And all praise to God our Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name I believe. In Jesus' mighty name I believe. I believe, I believe.
Table. And if you are like me, looking to be more hungry for Christ this year than last year. We have plenty of small groups. We need to satisfy and cultivate a greater hunger for Jesus together. So I am excited to also help you find one of these small groups at the local table. So again, thank you so much. I have a blessing each and every one of you this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May God Himself, God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body become blameless and becoming for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Go in peace, legacy family. Have a great week. I'll see you out the lobby.
8 Kia SUV is capable of taking you far, but when you use it locally to help your community, you go even further. Whether that's carrying cargo, bringing your team with you,
ready,
or navigating new terrain. Power up your capability with the right Kia SUV. Do more with the Kia Sportage, Kia Telluride, Kia Sorento, or Kia Seltos. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.